You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
It is a touch too much when we end up having nothing but a whole bunch of Marxist scuzzballs in Washington, D.C. And that's what we've dealt with for the last 2 years. Ever since Obama got elected and the 111th Congress came into effect, we've had nothing but a whole bunch of scumbags in Washington, D.C., which is the most clear and present danger we have ever had to the security of the United States, both financial and by borders, and incursion from other countries. When you have a leader who bows to the king of your religiously sworn enemy, the king of Saudi Arabia. Now, we have a whole bunch of fundamentalists within the Muslim religion, Islamic fundamentalists, that would otherwise care to do us total destruction, not just harm, but total and utter destruction. Bomb us back into non-existence, be it from a huge nuke or a bomb on their back. And we have a president, a leader, who would otherwise remove the words about God from our founding documents. And that's after the insult of getting the other leftists who control the houses of the legislature, both houses of Congress, to do everything that they can to continue to pass Marxist suppressive legislation. You know, I'd like to inform those in Washington, D.C., who over the decades have passed federal criminal law dealing with things that happen within states, and then at the executive level created government bureaucracies and agencies to oversee that's illegal. Every federal law dealing with guns is illegal except for the ones dealing with interstate commerce. Interstate commerce is the only thing that the federal government has the authority to actually pass criminal law on. That's it. Nothing inside of a state. If you have a gun in your state and the feds think that they don't want it, but yet the state doesn't have a provision against it, guess what? It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. And we have failed to fight. However, and a big however, I do have to say, we are starting to wake up, and it is going to be up to us to ensure that the Tea Party candidates, who are now part of the House and the Senate and will be taking their oath, probably the only ones to actually uphold their oath, coming up in January, it is up to us to ensure that they keep that oath and honor all of the promises that they made and the principles which they say to have stood for that got them elected in the first place. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com. We'll be right back.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio.
All right. Good morning, guys. Good morning. You're lucky enough to be tuned in live right here on 2A Radio. Welcome to the show. Now, in the great state of Florida, they lost their constitutional right to carry openly, I don't know, many years ago. And there's a movement afoot now to actually restore that right. So let's get into this. This is a commentary by Mike Thomas of the Orlando Sentinel. You'll get his position by the tone of his commentary. Keep in mind, those who are pro-gun obviously don't get that sort of a commentary in a paper, just the anti-gunners. So here we go. He says, so you're walking down Park Avenue, window shopping for all the stuff you once could afford, and suddenly coming down the sidewalk, you see three gunslingers. Gunslingers. If you're carrying a gun, I believe he considers you to be a gunslinger. Okay. It's like the Wild West, which is, this is something that anti-gunners do. When you talk about having open carry, it's like, oh, this is going to be like the Wild West. Only there's open carry in many states throughout the country, and none of them actually act like the Wild West. In the Wild West, wasn't that wild, guys. It wasn't like in the movie. Anyhow, it's like the Wild West, except they're drinking lattes instead of six-shooters, they have Glocks clipped to their match-grade Gucci belts. Would this bother you? He poses the question. My answer is no, actually. Not at all. He responds with, well, it could happen because the open carry movement has come to Florida. Open carry means just that. Any law-abiding citizen is allowed to openly carry a handgun. Okay. He says, advocates are pushing for legislation allowing it and are armed with a statement of support from Republican gubernatorial candidate Rick Scott. Now, I don't know who actually won in Florida. Was it Rick Scott? I don't know. So it's interesting. He says, advocates are pushing for the legislation to allow it. No. What they're pushing for is the repeal of the legislation, which disallowed it. Anyhow, he continues. Despite Florida's reputation as a gun-crazy state. Really? I didn't know that. That's news to me, but okay, maybe now I'll have to adjust my thinking. He says, despite Florida's reputation as a gun-crazy state, we actually are like some socialist European countries when it comes to bearing our arms. We make people get permits and hide their heat under jackets and coats, lest they offend the sissy gun bigots. Okay, now we're starting to get a better feel for this. But in 43 other states, you can carry handguns openly. Even California allows open carry, although it has the Barney Fife rule, you have to keep the bullets in your pocket. Okay. He says, open carry has been in existence for decades, but nobody paid much attention because nobody did it. That all changed a few years ago when a few gun owners decided they needed to affirm their Second Amendment rights. Throw in the internet and you've got a movement. The open carry motto is, quote, a right unexercised is a right lost, which is exactly true. Unfortunately, some decided to exercise their right near President Barack Obama events. He didn't seem to mind, but this made a lot of pro-gun people, including the NRA, embarrassed, a bit squeamish, because it played into the whole gun nut stereotype. I see it differently. He says, open carry is to the NRA what Christine O'Donnell is to the Republican establishment. I am establishment when it comes to guns. I support Florida's concealed weapons law and the Stand Your Ground law. I cheered when the Supreme Court overturned the gun ban in Washington, D.C. I will be heading for the gun range this weekend. Liberals think I'm the unholy spawn of Charlton Heston and Marion Hammer. But this is too much. These guys conduct open carry demonstrations where they stand around like exhibitionists, exposing their weaponry for all to see. What would Freud think? They even have figured out a way to hold these events in Florida. By state law, you're allowed to open carry while you are fishing. A frightening thought if you've ever been to Sebastian Inlet at the opening of snook season. Okay, I guess I don't get that reference. Not from Florida. So they go to fish piers and stand around with their guns on hips, pretending to fish. And if someone hooks a stingray, they're not even allowed to shoot it. Well, maybe if the stingray raises its tail, it would be legal under Stand Your Ground. Sean Carana of Daytona Beach is spearheading the open carry effort. I asked him why he wasn't satisfied with the right to carry concealed weapons. He says, quote, "The problem with the concealed license is you have to pay a license tax," he said, likening it to a poll tax in the Jim Crow days. He says, "You have to go through a government-mandated training course. You have to be 21 to get a license when this is a fundamental civil right." Take the word civil out, and you're actually correct. It's a fundamental right. Civil rights have no foundation. It's all procedural. Anyhow, continuing. Sean said an 18-year-old should be able to carry a gun without any mandated training, a scary thought when I consider those summers of 72 flashbacks. Sean said he's favoring training, but, quote, "you can't use the police power of government to demand it." He likened it to requiring training for someone writing a letter to the newspaper, even though a badly written letter never killed anyone. Sean argued that open carry will deter crime. For example, a robber scopes out a fast food joint and sees three customers with supersized Sig Sours, so he moves on. And if anybody in Florida does it, the criminals would move to California, where you are, where you only are allowed to throw your guns at them. I agreed with Sean that criminals will not be carrying their guns around like Chicago in the 1930s, so those theoretical guys I had walking down Park Avenue would be more silly than dangerous. And that pretty much sums up the open carry movement. So, this guy claims to be pro-gun, but he's slamming open carry. Here's a rebuttal. In 1987, Florida became a shall-issue state for concealed carry licenses. At the time, Florida had the country's second highest murder rate, and there was much debate about allowing people to arm themselves. Opponents said that there would be, quote, "blood in the streets," and simple fender benders would turn into roadside gunfights. To ensure that gun owners would not be met with thousands of differing local regulations, the state legislature also passed preemption of all firearms laws. Amongst the ordinances invalidated was Dade County's ban on openly carrying an unconcealed handgun. Janet Reno, assistant state attorney for Dade County at the time, called on the legislature to close what she called a loophole in the new statewide carry laws and outright ban open carry throughout the state. Just having lost their fight against shall-issue concealed carry, the future U.S. Attorney General, a handful of Florida sheriffs and police chiefs, and newspapers statewide went on the offensive to call for a special session of the legislature to close what they dubbed the Dodge City loophole. Scumbags. NRA lobbyist Marion Hammer initially fought the open carry ban, explaining that allowing statewide open carry was not a loophole, but a carefully planned and considered provision of the carry laws. NRA then announced they would not fight the open carry ban at that time, but picked up the issue during the next regular legislative session. The reason given was to delay implementation of open carry provisions while people became accustomed to concealed carry. While in a special session over an unrelated tax matter, the legislature added that the open carry ban to the agenda and quickly passed the measure. 23 years later, the open carry ban that Janet Reno so skillfully lobbied for stands in Florida. What has not lasted are that the 1987 predictions of gun control advocates. In fact, crime is down dramatically in Florida since carrying a firearm became legal in public. Citizens lawfully carry handguns, has been proven effective in reducing violent crime that many law enforcement have changed their tune on the matter of. The shall issue concealment carry movement that started in Florida has been so successful it has spread to most of the country. Nationwide, violent crime is down everywhere that carrying a handgun has become common. Florida Governor Hopeful Rick Scott agrees that open carry should be legal in Florida, saying, quote, as a member of the NRA and a hunter, I am a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, and I will protect our fundamental right to keep and bear arms. Florida is one of only seven states with wide prohibition on carrying an unconcealed firearm. Repealing the ban on unconcealed or open carry will eliminate practical and constitutional problems in Florida. Like another Florida Sentinel writer in 1987, today Mike Thomas still uses hyperbole, distortions, and false imaginary of open carry movement to skew public opinion. Mr. Thomas asserts that your Second Amendment rights should not receive the same protection as the rest of the Bill of Rights by using the common false agreement that, quote, a badly written letter never killed anyone. Mr. Thomas is obviously not a student of history, having forgotten about such publications as Mein Kampf, the Communist Manifesto, and quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong. Three written works that were used as justification for the deaths of tens of millions, they also all advocate a disarmed society. We'll finish up this letter when we come back, one paragraph left. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
And welcome back. I'm going to finish up the last paragraph of this response letter to this pro-gun, anti-open carry writer of the Orlando Sentinel. It continues by saying, in America, open carry is legal in 43 states, and no license is required in the majority of them. Even those who once predicted blood in the streets and that people will be afraid of the sight of guns in public have changed their attacks to now just calling open carry silly and Freudian. Well, that's fine by me. We don't ban widely utilized methods of exercising our rights in this country just because some people think it's silly. It's time for Florida gun owners to come out of the closet and repeal the Janet Reno open carry ban. Well, excellently written letter. Now, we're going to shift gears just a little bit. I was looking over a copy of the ATF's Form 4473. The 4473 is that generally yellow in color form that you fill out when you buy a gun from a gun dealer. All kinds of different questions on it. So I sent the ATF an email yesterday, and here's a letter. It says, in regards to Form 4473 and its instructions, I have the following questions. Question one. Questions number 8 and 9 are used for identification purposes. The Social Security Administration provides information that I am not obligated to share that information with agencies such as BATFE. I otherwise do not have a UPIN or Unique Personal Identification Number. Do I need to obtain and provide a UPIN, or can both questions number 8 and number 9 be left blank? Question number 8 asks you for your Social Security number, and if you don't have one, then your Unique Personal Identification Number, which has been issued by the federal government, to go into number 9. So that's why I wrote that. Number 2, and this all has to do with citizenship. He says, I said, regarding question 11J, number 14, and number 15, the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled and defined that there are two defined and separate classes of citizenship in the United States. The phrase citizen with a capital C of the United States has as used in the opening of the U.S. Constitution, does not have the same meaning as the term citizen with a lowercase c of the United States as used in the 14th Amendment. The phrase citizen with a capital C of the United States as used in the opening of the U.S. Constitution is shorthand for, quote, all the citizens of the 13 independent nations, called states, that are party to this Constitution and to the states who would later become members of the Union. This meaning is made unmistakably clear when one reads the words of Chief Justice Taney in the Dred decision. The term citizen with a lowercase c of the United States, as used in the 14th Amendment, quite clearly does embrace people of African descent brought here for the purpose of slavery and their posterity. This under lowercase c citizen of the United States must be a new and different term, separate and distinct from that used in the opening stanza of the United States Supreme of the U.S. Constitution, and it is. So those are the words of the Chief Justice. Citizen with the capital C of the United States, as used in the opening of the U.S. Constitution, any free white male who was citizen of any of the original 13 states, and any free white male who is a citizen of the state thereafter admitted to the Union. Citizen with a lowercase c of the United States, as used in the 14th Amendment, any person born in any state of the Union who was held in the bondage of slavery or involuntary servitude, and under the provisions of the Constitution of such state at that time, not the citizen thereof. In short, the 14th Amendment created another new class of citizens. This new type of citizen was not created by the well-settled and long-standing rules and traditions of international law as relating to citizenship, such as the case for men who gain their state citizenship by birth upon the land. This new class of citizen gained his citizenship by the citizens of the original class of citizenship, agreeing to establish a new class of citizenship and gifting the new class of citizenship by the amendment to a certain designated class of person who, at the time, were without any form of citizenship. All of this has been defined by the Supreme Court in the United States of the United States in both the Slaughterhouse and Yik Wu cases. Original class citizens enjoy inalienable rights backed by substantive due process, whereas 14th Amendment class citizens have merely civil rights backed by procedural due process. I am a citizen capital C of the United States, or more accurately, a citizen of the state of Nevada. Your Form 4473 does not provide for the purchase of firearms for members of the original class of citizenship, such as myself. Only 14th Amendment citizens, lowercase c, of the United States, and foreign residents are able to accurately fill out your Form 4473. Case in point, on question 11J, I've never had United States citizenship to renounce. I must assume that your form is either A, purposely incorrect in an attempt to get gun buyers to unknowingly sign that they are mere 14th Amendment lowercase citizens of the U.S., B, original class citizens need not engage in filling out Form 4473, as our right to keep and bear arms is inalienable, and we need to provide official notification to gun dealers of such. If this is so, then please provide me with the official BATFE form or instructions to show to any gun dealer I choose to do business with that I am exempt from the use of Form 4473, or C, BATFE hasn't the slightest clue as to the questions of citizenship on your form and need to immediately update the form to reflect the proper forming of questions to citizenship. That's my letter to ATF. I said, please provide me with answers to my queries. Guys, stay tuned. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
One of the things that I do commonly in life is I hold human beings and the human race to a higher standard than most. I expect a much higher standard out of my fellow Americans and others around the world than most people do, especially here, my countrymen. I expect much more than the average person, which coincidentally I end up being let down a lot more often. However, they say the cream rises to the top. When I hold everybody to a higher standard, those who actually meet the standard are people that I appreciate associating with. And since there are not quite that many there, I'm not bothered with a bunch of scumbags or lowlifes or people that don't perform up to a certain level in my life. I'm not. The people in my life, in my personal life, are much better people. And it's interesting. Because, you know, it's birds of a feather flock together. I know a lot of people. I probably have more friends than I know what to do with. However, I do have to say that they're all very high-end people. Because I just don't associate with people that aren't to a certain level. I just don't. I hold myself to a higher level. I hold others to a higher level. And that's just me. It's not an expectation. It's just, this is the level where I believe you should be operating. If you don't, that's fine. If you do, that's great. Even better. And I don't let everybody know that level that I expect to hold, that I'm holding them to. But, you know, if I have a perception of where you ought to be, if you're there, great. I dig it. If you're not, then my perception is both. And we all do this subconsciously. I'm just sitting here on the radio speaking about this. All right. I want to clarify something, by the way, in the from the last segment with that letter to the ATF. I was citing all sorts of, by trying to get through the thing rapidly by the end of the segment, citing all sorts of things dealing with race behind the actual classes of citizenship. That's all government words and interpretations by the Supreme Court. All right, I just want to let you know. And there, what is it? In U.S. Code 1983, that's not the year, but the U.S. Code 1983, they actually refer to the white race class of citizenship, circa 1896 or something like that. So it's rather interesting. And all this is 1873, I think it was. And this is all still currently standard law that's going on. So, anyhow, I was just in the process of citing. I don't want you to think that I was writing a race-based letter to the ATF. I was citing Supreme Court decisions and U.S. Code 1983. Anyhow, back onto this. Holding people to a higher standard. One of the parts of our society that I hold to a very high standard is that of cops. Some people would say law enforcement. I don't like that. I like peace officer or police. Okay, I hold the people in that realm that are badge-toting, oath-taking, gun-carrying members of the community to a much higher standard. And unfortunately, I'm let down quite a bit. My own experiences as a cop, a street cop, a beat cop in Las Vegas, were you get all kinds of people in that job. And psych evals don't work that great because probably about half of the cops that I knew, if they weren't cops, they would have been locked up, had criminal records, due in time. Very fine line with a lot of them. Now, here is a list, and I doubt I'll get all the way through the list, but here's a list of cops that were arrested in 1 week from October 6th through October 12th of 2010, just this last October. Listen to this. A Phoenix cop tases, maces, and murders a Latino man. He's arrested. Los Angeles, California, cop murders an unarmed black student. Portland, Oregon, police captain involved in neo-Nazi activities that the city covered up for years. All these people arrested for these things. Garden Grove, California cop charged for anally raping two women. Davidson County, Tennessee deputy falsely arrests homeless man after murdering his dog. Newtonville, Ohio police chief pleads guilty to sexual battery of a 15-year-old girl. Denver, Colorado deputy charged for molesting an 8-year-old boy in addition to 12 counts involving a 12-year-old boy. Let's see. Hefzabah, Georgia cop caught choking, beating, and using racial slurs against a black child. Selma, California police officer caught on federal possession and distribution of child pornography. Beloit, Wisconsin police chief subject to 5 different racial discrimination suits filed by cops and local business owners. U.S. Border Patrol agent murders a teenager as he tried to flee. New York police officer given only 90 days in jail for hitting and killing a pastor's daughter while driving drunk. Let's see, Pine Tops, North Carolina police officer murders college student in his own dorm room. Texas DPS trooper given assault charges for slamming female accident victim into a concrete wall after she called 911. I watched the video of that one. It was unbelievable. Norfolk, Virginia cop responded to 60-year-old woman's 911 call, sexually assaults and rapes her twice. New York City police detective pleads guilty to sexually assaulting a woman and performing lewd act in front of other woman. Let's see, New Orleans, Louisiana, cop sentenced to 10 days on domestic violence charge for punching his wife 10 times, fracturing her jaw. So a day per punch, evidently, in New Orleans. Ventura County, California, a deputy pleads guilty to molesting a 16-year-old girl and sending her sexual material via text messages and email. Texas DPS trooper arrested on two counts of indecency with a minor on allegations of sexual relations with an underage relative. Let's see. Fallowfield, Pennsylvania cop sentenced to probation for not reporting a runaway teen boy that took him home to have sex with him instead. DeSoto Parish, Louisiana deputies resigned and two others suspended for tackling a woman transporting a burn victim to an emergency room. Pine Lawn, Missouri police chief investigated for shooting at an unarmed suspect as he fled following a chase. Pembroke Pines, Florida undercover police officer caught mooning animal rights activists during a protest. Now that's actually funny. Seattle, Washington cop faces inquest for murdering Native American woodcarver after autopsy doesn't match the police report. Imagine that. Lying in an official police report? Grand Rapids, Michigan cop accused of illegally shutting down business. Owners lost everything by the time the case was dismissed. Let's see, Guam police officer under investigation for allegation she was involved in a domestic violence incident. Guam, not a state, but part of the U.S. It is a U.S. territory. Escondido, California police accused of harassing and taking photographs of people protesting questionable police checkpoints. Tampa, Florida cop accused of excessive force by man asking the governor for special counsel after tasered four times at a college ball game. Let's see, Dusquin, Pennsylvania police officer issued several citations after her six dogs attacked a couple and a 12-year-old girl. So her dog did the attacking and then she offered citations to make it look like they were at fault. Brookfield, Ohio police officer on paid leave for assaulting a woman in her home. In L.A., police officer convicted of leaving scene of accident and causing great bodily injury hit two people with his Hummer. Minneapolis cop charged for armed robberies to serve concurrently with 8-year federal sentence for bank robbery. Let's see, two Ripley, Tennessee cops were indicted, one for official oppression for wrongful arrest, other for theft and official misconduct. New Mexico Narcotics Task Force used National Guard helicopter in armed raid on a school. No pot found, just tomatoes. Denton, Texas, four cops subject of a suit alleging excessive force when they shot a man in the leg who answered the door holding a shotgun. He's in his own house. He can answer the door butt naked with an M16 if he wants. Leave him alone. Buffalo, New York cop charged with trespassing and harassment for attacking a man he thought was his girlfriend but got the wrong address. Really. Marshall University, West Virginia police accused of keeping two sets of crime logs in order to hide gang rape incidents from the press. So reportable log in the actual log. Let's see, Obion, Tennessee police officer fired after tasering a man while on duty for teasing her outside of a convenience store. Really? Sticks and stones didn't enter into your head? The old phrase of sticks and stones? Don't tease me, I'll tase you. Tasing for teasing. You gonna tase me now? Lancaster, Pennsylvania cop charged with assault and reckless endangerment for ramming a woman's car. Charlotte, Mecklenburg, North Carolina, police major arrested with his girlfriend on allegations they assaulted a woman. Corpus Christi, Texas cop charged with retaliation, tampering and discharging a firearm in a bar fight that severely injured one. Birchwood, Wisconsin police officer who resigned while under investigation last month now charged with sexual assault. Delaware's head of Alcohol and Tobacco Enforcement Division charged with DUI when stopped for speeding. Newark, New Jersey settled a suit for $300,000 to a man jailed for crimes he couldn't have done and signed a confession he couldn't read. Fresno, California police officer arrested on DUI and hit-and-run charges after hitting a car in an apartment parking lot, then driving away. T, South Dakota cop, he pleads guilty to obtaining OxyContin by fraud and DUI charges, will plead to other DUI charges in another county. Clinton, Utah police officer sentenced to 30 days in jail as a plea deal for unauthorized access to email accounts and data. Interesting. Wire fraud. Arkansas state trooper suspended after he was charged with manslaughter over an on-duty accident that left one woman dead. Cook County, Illinois sheriffs, now Chicago's in Cook County. The Cook County, Illinois Sheriff's Department raids innocent elderly couple's home in a warrant based only on drug informant's word. So they're in hot water for that. Stanford University, California police sergeant arrested for DUI. Officials refused to give the details. Of course, protect their own. Stanford University, California police sergeant arrested for driving under the influence. And again, cops refused to give details on that as well. El Paso, Texas arrested for aggravated robbery after allegedly stealing money box while working security at a wedding. What a scumbag. Milwaukee, Wisconsin assistant police chief charged with DUI after crashing into a tree in his personal car. Lansing, Michigan police officer fined $100 after convicted on misdemeanor charges for misusing police database. In Vermont, a state trooper was charged with a DUI after police alerted to a bar dispute he was involved in. Salisbury, North Carolina, a police dog suspended after biting a kindergarten student during a police demonstration at a grade school. Maricopa County, Arizona, which is the home to Sheriff Joe Arpaio, settles a suit for $600,000 to a man hit by a deputy and left pinned under a patrol car during a traffic stop. Suffolk, New York police officer and DA investigator arrested on felony computer trespass charges. And that was at a subscription site of somehow they broke into. They hacked in. Owensbury, Kentucky cop suspended without pay for 6 months for failing to intervene when other now former cop attacked a detainee. So one cop's attacking a detainee and the other cop fails to intervene. 6 months off without pay. Good. Oakland, California settles a suit for $1.2 million to a woman left disfigured by burns over 11% of her body by a SWAT flashbang grenade. Jackson, Wyoming police sued by a man tasered several times when he protested about being pulled over for out-of-state tags. Out-of-state? In Wyoming, you're not allowed to drive a car that's licensed in another state? What? Riviera Beach, Florida police officer on paid leave while subject of unspecified internal and criminal investigations. They won't tell you. Corona, California police lieutenant fired over allegations of ties to a motorcycle gang that he was a subject of a criminal probe. Wilmington, North Carolina cop subject of a suit alleging he ran a red light and injured an 81-year-old woman in an on-duty accident. Folks, I'm not halfway through this list. This is 1 week. 1 week. As a matter of fact, as I scroll down, I'm about a third of the way through the list. This is 1 week. Now you see why I preface this entire segment with, I tend to hold people to a higher level. And the anti-gunners are the ones that are saying, call the cops. Just call the police. When chances are likely you'll get somebody like one of these cops showing up to your door. Right. These are nothing more than thugs with a badge. And I'm supposed to trust them. Stay tuned, guys. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
It is up to us entirely, we the people. It is up to us to hold government accountable. Calling in to chime in on this subject from the great state of Iowa, Stephen is on line one. Stephen.
Yes, I was wondering if you have any information on an occurrence in July, 4 July 09, I believe it was Akron, Ohio. I heard Mike Savage speak of this. 50 black teenagers beat the white off of a family of four white people, and the pigs up there could not understand if it was a hate crime or not. Do you know if there's been any kind of charges or anything?
I've got to tell you, Stephen, I am completely unaware of that particular case, but I can do my best to try and look it up. But can you email me the specifics on it?
No, I have no access to a computer. I don't own one, in other words. But Mike Savage at MikeSavage.com was talking about that. He was the only one that ever said anything. And being a former police officer in the military, I was kind of interested as to why the local civilian simulated constabulary could not understand that this is clearly a hate crime. You got 50 black youth beating the hell out of four white people.
Steve, thanks very much for the phone call. I appreciate it. That is, I'm sure, just one of hundreds of instances. When I was visiting the state of Hawaii just about 2.5 years ago, was it 3.5 years ago? There had been a case where there was a bunch of Native Islander Hawaiians that beat the hell out of some white folks that were there and were screaming howlies at them, which is, you know, a racial slur against, the whites. But, they did not consider that to be any sort of a hate crime. So, as it turns out, I think only hate crimes can be perpetrated by whites against minorities. I think that's the only way that it seems to work that way. Folks, it is up to us to hold politicians and government personnel to a higher standard. When we leave it up to them to tell us how to run our lives, then the cart's in front of the horse, and it doesn't work. It is entirely up to us, we the people, to hold the government, government personnel, politicians, employees, appointed, hired, volunteering, it doesn't matter. It is up to us to hold all of them, each and every one of them, to the high standard that we deserve, expect, and quite honestly, will no longer do without. Thanks for spending your day with me, guys. I'll be back tomorrow.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com. I will